Chapter 9. A growl rumbled in my chest, and I bolted out the door with Laika and Aliona hot on my heels. They knew better than to ask any more questions, and I knew they were just as worried as I was about what Naomi's message could have meant.
"Lord Evan!"
Kendi called out from behind us.
"What's going on?"
"We'll be back," I yelled over my shoulder and stopped in the courtyard. "Just keep working on the election."
"Should I, whoa!"
He gasped in the middle of his question as I shifted into my dragon form. I cut it a little close to my women, and they both jumped back as I pulled my growing body away from them so they didn't get squashed. We had to find out what was going on, though. Naomi wasn't the type to be dramatic, and she'd sounded terrified in her message, so it had to be something serious for her to call us back to Atheson when we were trying to save people here in Vetta.
"We'll let you know what's going on soon," I rumbled, while Laika and Aliona pulled themselves onto my back.
"Let's go,"
Laika muttered, and both of my lovers gripped my spikes to their chests. I made sure they were hanging on tight, and then I took off like a bat out of hell. My wings flapped in a frenzy, and Kendi's bright robes fluttered in the wind of my takeoff. The lynx waved awkwardly, and his face was still twisted into confusion as he set out toward Naomi and whatever problem awaited us. It wasn't a pleasant flight this time, and I couldn't even enjoy the feeling of the cool wind in my face like I normally did. Even the feeling of flying through the clouds didn't bring me any of its normal joy, since I was too busy running through every scenario of what could have gone wrong in Atheson. Maybe the demons Cairo talked about had attacked, and there were people with miasma poisoning running around like zombies. Or maybe Cairo escaped and set the log cabin castle on fire. Or maybe something had happened with Rebecca. Or Yura. The anxiety of an innocent person being in pain sent jolts of pain through my chest, and thousands of possibilities raced through my mind as I flew at jet-setting speeds back to Atheson. I dodged a flock of birds, and Aliona and Laika squeezed my spikes as I veered off course for a moment. We made it back to the city in less than half the time it had taken to reach Vetta this morning, and I slowed down as we reached the palace. The courtyard was bare, and I could see the guard still sat in the pit with Naomi's spell over the top of the hole. A few stragglers walked around on the roads, but nothing seemed disastrous yet. No zombies, at least. I finally saw where everyone stood on the beach behind the castle, and they waved at me to come down into the sand near them. It looked like all my people were there, and I braced myself for a quick landing. Then I dive-bombed closer to the ground and slowed just before I hit the ground and skidded to a stop. As my clawed toes settled in the sand, I waited impatiently for my women to slide down from my back, and I quickly shifted back into my human form as Naomi rushed over to us.
"Lord Evan, thank the gods,"
the lizard mage gasped as she wrapped her arms around me and sighed against my chest.
"You have to come over here. We don't know what to do."
The lizard mage motioned for us to follow her closer to where Nike, Ravi, Aaliyah, Rebecca, and the dryads stood in a circle around Mariah. The sword spirit was sitting cross-legged in the sand with her eyes closed, her white hair blue in the soft ocean breeze, and if I didn't know better, I would have thought she was just another girl relaxing on the beach. But Mariah didn't do things like that. She was the spirit of the Sword of Hatra, and my guide on my journey as a noble dragon. She didn't take naps on the beach, especially if everyone was here trying to wake her. Something was definitely up. "What happened?" I demanded.
"We don't know,"
Ravi squeaked with a frown.
"Mariah said she wanted some time to meditate, so we left her alone out here. Then it was time for lunch, so I came to tell her." "But we can't wake her up,"
Aaliyah finished, and her golden tail swayed behind her in frustration.
"It's so strange. She seems to know we're talking to her because her eyes move every time one of us touches her. Like she's looking around under her eyelids."
"We've tried tapping her,"
Trina said, and looked down at her feet in the sand.
"And shaking her,"
Polina pointed out.
"And yelling at her,"
Marina added.
"Nothing has worked. She's just been sitting like this for over an hour."
"She didn't respond at all when I first arrived,"
Ravi continued, and the phoenix wrung her hands in concern.
"But now she seems comforted by all of us being here. I mean, I think she is. We're worried, Lord Evan."
"We have no idea what to do,"
Naomi moaned.
"Please, find out what's wrong with our sister."
"Okay, okay," I said and held up my hands. "Let me see her." The dryads took a few steps back to allow us into the circle, but even as I got closer, Mariah didn't move a muscle.
I snapped my fingers next to her ear, and her eyelids twitched like Aaliyah described, but nothing else moved. Her palms were laid across her knees, and her body looked completely relaxed, so I leaned closer and whispered into her ear.
Mariah, wake up!
It's me, Evan. You have everyone very worried right now. The spirit's eyes trembled again, but they didn't open, and the rest of her body remained completely still.
What do you think?
Aliona breathed next to me.
She almost looks asleep.
I'm not sure, I muttered, and stood up. I don't know enough about spirits to really have any ideas. I just know she can change her form, she's part of the sword, and she can hang out in my head, and speak into my head, it turns out.
Can you speak into hers?
My fiancé wondered. My breath caught in my throat. The princess was brilliant. Let me try, I murmured. I remembered our telepathic conversation last night and focused on emitting my thoughts into Mariah's head. I wasn't sure how to do it at all, but I had to try something.
Has this ever happened before?
Rebecca asked quietly. No, I answered and frowned. When we'd spoken in my head before, Mariah had initiated the conversation, and I'd only replied. My attempts to get into her head now were infuriatingly unsuccessful. It was like she could go into my head, but I couldn't go into hers. Our conversation must have only existed within my mind, where she could come and go as she pleased.
Maybe you need a physical connection, since you've never done that before,
Laika suggested, and her furry gray tail swished around anxiously behind her. Yeah, good idea, I nodded, and stepped closer to the spirit again. I dropped to a knee and put my hand on her shoulder, and suddenly a gust of wind knocked me off balance. I landed on the sand with a grunt, and then inhaled a sharp breath as I looked around. I was no longer on the beach of Atheson. The light brown sand beneath me was replaced by a perfectly balanced mixture of black and white grains, and the sky was dark with deep gray clouds that swirled as a harsh wind blew. The crack of thunder echoed, and a flash of lightning hit the water to my right. I glanced over at the water and realized it was dark, nearly black, and it was rushing like rapids. Huge waves towered over the water's surface and then crashed into it while gray froth rose to the top. Then I could hear Mariah crying, and I whipped my head around to see my lover standing with her arms over her chest as she sobbed in front of three cloaked figures. Their hoods draped low enough to completely cover their faces, and their hands were clasped together in front of them. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I could tell it was upsetting the sword spirit. Holy shit. Was I in Mariah's spiritual sea? And who the fuck were these guys making her cry? Hey, you fucks, I thundered as I stomped over the sand to them. What the hell is going on here?
What in the name of the gods is going on here?
One of the hooded men demanded.
What is he doing in your spiritual sea?
Lord Evan!
Mariah gasped and turned to face me.
What? How are you here?
The sight of tears streaming down her face was nearly enough to send me into a full-blown rage as I wrapped my arms around her and kissed her head. I'm not sure how I got here, but I'm damn sure glad I am, I grunted, before I softened my tone. Mariah, are you okay? Who are they?
The Eudices,
she whispered against me.
They...
We can speak for ourselves, Mariah, one of the men hissed. And you still have not answered how your ward is able to enter your spiritual sea.
I don't know, dear Cicerone,
Mariah replied as she released me to curtsy.
I've never experienced such a thing.
His presence has no bearing on our decision, another one snorted. We will continue the trial as planned.
The Eudices stood so still, I couldn't tell which one was speaking each time, but I could tell I didn't like them.
I understand,
Mariah conceded and bowed her head.
Lord Evan will be here to support me or answer questions if needed.
The three figures leaned together and whispered for a few seconds before returning to their stock-still posts. Oh, I have my own questions to ask, I scoffed. Like, why the hell are you in Mariah's spiritual sea?
Spirit business is nothing to concern yourself with, one of the men answered, and followed it with a dramatic sigh. Though you are the reason we have come.
Why come to Mariah, then? Why not come to me?
The Iudices are judges of spiritual power, one of them answered. You are the reason we are here. But that is because Mariah used her power to assist you, which is strictly forbidden. Spirits are not allowed to meddle.
She saved my life, I argued. It was necessary, and I wouldn't call her ability to help me meddling.
No,
the man thundered back, and the air seemed to vibrate with his power.
Spirits have the duty of guidance, not interference. If you were meant to lose your battle, we are not to change your course. Your destiny is set.
Who's to say I was meant to lose the battle? I asked, and crossed my arms over my chest. Perhaps her actions are exactly what was meant to happen. The three spirit judges took in a collective gasp.
Lord Evan, you cannot suggest that spirits can take such actions. We are only meant to guide you on your path, not change the path you're on. I told you, I broke the rules. It was only a matter of time before they issued judgment.
That's bullshit. Even guiding has a ripple effect on the future. If she hadn't found me in the archives, I would never have found the Sword of Hatra. Without that, the king wouldn't have healed Valera of the death curse, and she wouldn't have laid our egg. That's an entire creature who was born thanks to Mariah's guidance without taking any real action and only guiding me. There is no way for anyone to exist in any world without having an effect on someone else. To believe someone can exist without affecting anything is ludicrous.
You speak of things you do not understand, young dragon, one of the judges snarled. We have existed since the dawn of time. We know how our kind is supposed to work in this world, and Mariah has defied our laws. For that, she shall be punished.
I won't let you hurt her, I growled, and called the Sword of Healing to my hand. She's done nothing wrong.
You cannot stop the Iudices, another one hissed. We have the power of the high heavens to support us.
And I have the power of the Celestial Triad to stop you, I shot back with a smirk.
Leave this place,
the judge who bellowed threw his hood back and revealed his face. The Iudis had pale gray skin that looked dried out, like a crumbling statue, and I couldn't see a single hair on his head. His eyes were a piercing blue that seemed to stare directly into my soul, and his mouth was curled up into a snarl as he glared at me. I'm not going anywhere, I said in a low voice. She is my woman.
Then your fate will be the same as hers,
he sneered as a long, curved blade appeared in his hand. He tossed it back and forth between his hands and bounced from foot to foot as though he was warming up. Oh, bring it on, I retorted, and held my sword in a defensive position. The Iudis's lips peeled back to reveal a row of sharp white teeth before he charged at me with his blade held high.
Lord Evan!
Mariah cried out and reached for me.
Stay back, Mariah,
one of the other Iudices commanded. At his words, the sand around her feet crawled up to her calves, wrapped around her pale white skin like tentacles, and held her in place.
Bastard!
I called out, and started to head for the judges. But Mariah held up her hand, since she knew I'd have to face the one who was attacking before I could handle the other two. I stifled my white-hot rage and focused on the one coming at me, as he swung his blade in a smooth circle over his head before he took a swift jab at my chest. The tip of the sword nicked my tunic, and it tore a hole in the black fabric as I stepped back from the blow. He moved fast for an old, crusty guy, and he took another backhanded swing as he spun around. But I blocked the strike with my sword and shoved him backward. I wasn't sure if I would have to kill him to get the Iudices to leave, but I would do whatever it took to keep Mariah safe. I leapt forward with a stabbing blow to the creature's midsection, but he flew to my left while my blade plunged into empty air with a whistle. He never slowed down as he struck again, and I blocked four or five shots from his curved blade with instinctual movements while I tried to figure out a way to get ahead of him. With all of my magical abilities, something had to throw this guy off balance. So I activated my earthquake magic and sent a shockwave of power across the black and white beach. The ripples of energy burst through the ground toward the spirit judge, and he dove out of the path of the crack that zigzagged across the beach toward him.
"You can access your magic here?"
he asked, as his blue eyes widened in shock.
"Impossible!"
"I hear that a lot from my enemies right before I kick their dumb asses," I smirked. The Iudas narrowed his eyes and charged again. This time he conjured a second sword and whipped both blades around him before he took a swipe at my head with one and then the other, but I ducked both blows and swung the sword of Hatra across his belly. My blade dragged across his gray skin, and the wound leaked a yellow pus that dribbled onto his black robe. He took a few steps back and pressed a finger through the hole in his robe to touch his injury, and his face twisted into a raging scowl as he looked up at me.
"How dare you!"
he roared, and ripped the robe from his body.
"Because you dared to mess with my woman!" I growled. "You'll pay!"
His gray torso looked misshapen, like pockets of fat were hidden under his skin in random places, and his black pants sagged from his uneven hips as he twirled his blades at his sides and then attacked again. I decided to focus on the ability I'd assimilated from the Sundex, and as soon as I thought it, the golden lines of the Iudas's path lit up before me. He wasn't planning to attack head-on like he'd been trying to do. Instead, the path showed he would dart to my left at the last second, away from my sword. As he sprinted closer, I waited until he was one step from his plan, and then I ducked down and kicked my leg out in front of him.
"Gah!"
he grunted, as he tripped and landed face first in the sand. I jumped on top of his back and pressed his face into the black and white grains as I dug my knee into his spine. Then I held the back of his head with one hand and my sword with the other, and I pressed the blade against the side of his neck as we both gasped for breath.
"Do you surrender?"
I asked as my racing heart began to slow.
"You can't do this," he mumbled against the sand.
"I already have," I growled, and pressed the edge of my sword against the dry skin of his neck.
"I'll ask you one more time before I slice your head off. Do you surrender?"
I glanced up to check on the other Iudices. I'd already learned not to leave my back turned to many of the creatures in Anadi, and I wasn't convinced these guys were any better. The other two spirit judges stood calmly next to Mariah, who still struggled against the sand bindings around her legs.
"What do you hope to accomplish with your win, Lord Evan?"
one of them asked.
"Do you believe you can overcome destiny? Fate?"
"I believe we create our own destinies. And if you don't release Mariah, I'll create new dead-end ones for all three of you."
"Ho, ho, ho!"
The second judge chuckled and lifted his hood from his head.
"How brazen of you."
"It was dumb of you three to think you could attack my woman," I growled. "Now, what's it going to be? Are you going to fuck off, or am I going to have to start ghost-busting some spirits?"
He looked exactly the same as the Iudas underneath my knee, and I blinked a few times to make sure I was seeing straight. Then he slowly clapped his hands, but he didn't free Mariah, and I was losing my fucking patience. And dragons didn't have a lot of patience when it came to assholes that tried to hurt their women. I jumped up and conjured a fiery bow with three arrows in one smooth motion, and I pulled the bowstring back and met the Iudas's eyes.
"You know everything, right? So you know what ability I took from the bow of Wellston."
The Iudas I'd defeated in battle scrambled to his feet and narrowed his eyes at me as I held the bow defiantly.
"Target precision," the unhooded judge murmured. "Very clever."
"It's a useful skill," I smirked. "And if Mariah isn't free in the next 10 seconds, you'll witness it for yourself. Care to try me?"
"No need to be hasty,"
he replied and snapped his fingers. The sand slithered from Mariah's skin like a snake, and she fell to the ground with a groan.
"I told you,"
she muttered as she stood and brushed the sand from her clothes.
"Lord Evan is unlike anyone you've known. I had to help him more than simple guidance in that moment. He's special."
"Because he's from another realm?"
the judge asked and raised a hairless eyebrow.
"We have seen the occasional realm traveler before, although I do not recall any other having such skill in both battle and magical ability I will admit.
I'm a quick learner, I huffed, but I kept my arrows trained in the Iudices. And I'll use whatever skills necessary to protect what's mine. The spiritual judges seemed to have lost interest in attacking me, but I still wasn't sure what they would do with Mariah.
We will keep our word, the unhooded one said. You two will share your fate. As Lord Evan has won the duel, your lives will be spared.
To what end? I demanded. You can't just pop up whenever you feel like it and threaten Mariah with your consequences. I want her cleared of whatever laws you say she's broken.
You make demands of the Iudices?
He asked with his eyes wide.
I can't say I'm surprised, but you know not what you ask of us.
I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. You've seen for yourself that I'm no ordinary dragon or realm traveler, as you say. I have great things planned for Rama, and I need Mariah to help me do them.
Because she is your lover,
the one I fought hissed. Ah, so they really could see everything. And he seemed to be pretty pissed off that I had taken Mariah as one of my women. Huh. You sound jealous, I smirked.
Your soul bridge is halfway complete.
The unhooded Iudis ignored my comment and gestured past me.
Even if we couldn't see her actions in your world, it would be rather difficult to miss that structure.
I risked a glance over my shoulder to see a bridge just like the ones I had in my own spiritual sea. The white rope spanned across the water and disappeared into the horizon, and they glowed even brighter under the dark sky in Mariah's sea. I realized the storm had slowed, though the sky remained black as night, and the waves had calmed to low swells that lapped up onto the beach. Well, that answered one of my questions about the bridges. Yeah, she's my woman and my lover. I turned back to face the Iudices again. But that's not why I need her. She's invaluable as a guide. She showed me how to access my Videnya, and she gives me strength in battle with all kinds of enemies. So yeah, she's pretty fucking awesome, and I need her. She is mine. And if you plan on trying to stop that now or in the future, we're going to have some problems. The Iudices looked at me with absolute shock on their faces. Then they turned their backs to me and talked in low voices together.
You didn't have to do that,
Mariah whispered as she walked over to me.
And I think you can lower your weapon now.
Are you sure? I asked as I relaxed the bow a tiny bit. I don't think we can trust them.
They're bound by the gods. If they decree your life will be spared, they cannot go back on it.
I see, I muttered, and called the bow and arrows back to me. And yeah, I did have to do that. I love you, and I need you by my side. There's no way I was going to let them hurt you, especially when you were only helping me.
It was the right thing to do. They'll see. They have to. And I love you, too.
You better, I winked, and kissed the top of her head. I just fought some old crumbly spirit guy for you.
And you most certainly defeated him,
she giggled.
Indeed,
the unhooded Iudis declared as they broke their huddle.
The battle clearly ended in your favor, though not all of them will. We have decided to forgive Mariah's indiscretion in your battle with Marlow.
Thank you, dear Cicerone. I will—
Don't get excited just yet, Mariah,
he cut her off, and I clenched my fists at his rudeness.
We are not finished. This indiscretion is forgiven, but it is the only one that will be. You must adhere to the laws of the spirit guides, or you will be placed in Somnus.
Mariah opened her mouth and closed it again with a nod. What the hell is Somnus? I asked.
It is the forever sleep, he declared. Spirits cannot be truly killed, but we have the power to put them to sleep for the rest of eternity. No dreams, no guiding, and no lovers.
He spat the last word, as though our relationship had personally offended him, and I decided he really needed to get laid. Okay, great, so no more interference, I replied. Of course, like I said, there's no way for her or any other spirit to exist without some kind of effect on the people around them, but what do I know? I'm just a stupid dragon, right?
Your words speak of a great wisdom, Lord Evan,
the unhooded one boomed.
Yet your knowledge of this world is still limited. You have much to learn, and with the right behavior, Mariah will be able to guide you to it.
Yeah, got it. Anything else?
We shall see,
he replied, and snapped his fingers again. Then Mariah and I tumbled into the sand on the beaches of Atheson as several pairs of eyes stared down at us.